You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who prefers to travel by catapult, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. Act three is underway, folks. Great to have you here tonight, a Friday night edition of Nightlight. It is a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here in honor of the segment we named after her with some great new music. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Grammys. That's at 7:35. Right now, our guest is Jeffrey Stern. He is joining us over the stream, telling us about some of his experiences overseas in war-torn areas. He is also the author of 5 books and many awards. We will be back with Jeffrey in just a moment. My guest last hour was Jeffrey and also Rob Thomas, who joined us to talk about the legacy of Catherine O'Hara, who died today at 71 years old. We still don't know the cause of death, but apparently she had a brief illness. That's all they're really saying. But what a remarkable body of work, and one of the funniest people ever to be on the big or little screen, for that matter. So our question of the night is, what movie or TV show is your favorite when it comes to aliens? I said the show Sugar with Colin Farrell and a couple of the Predators. I like the original Predator. I liked Prey. I like Predator Badlands. There's some real clunkers in there in that franchise, too. But there's some really good ones. Conrad said Guardians of the Galaxy. So let us know what yours is at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or text us on the Civic Media app. Or if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X, go ahead and drop us a stream comment, and I'll read it on the radio. Things are always much more fun when you guys participate. So we are crushing it here on a Friday night. It is so great. And I'm going to bring my guest back in, Jeffrey Stern, author of 5 books, including most recently Warhead, The Quest to Build the Perfect Weapon in the Age of Modern Warfare. It just came out January 20th, and it's already been named an Apple Best of the Month. Is that what it is, Jeffrey? It's a great honor. I mean, it's brand new.
I think that's right. It's a editor's pick, one of the best of the month, but we've just been saying they said it was the best book of the month, and no one seems to be fact checking us on that yet. So.
No one is going to do the work you do on your own
yes,
books.
Yeah.
There you go. Right. So I wanted to talk to you about this experience you had. You wrote a book called The 1517 to Paris. A great book, very well reviewed. Tell us about that book first and the story behind it, because it's pretty fascinating.
So I guess it was a little after my first book was published, and I got a call from this, you know, I wish this was sort of a sexier story, but an agent called. The agency had signed these 3 boys who had, you know, kind of catapulted into the top of the news because they stopped a terrorist on a train while they were on a summer kind of Euro trip. And the agency wanted to represent them for, you know, a book and a movie and speaking and all this other stuff. And I think they thought I might be a good person for it because they were young. I was sort of a young, author. Also because it was a splashy news story, but it wasn't exactly clear how it was going to be a book. You know, it was 90 seconds on a train or whatever, and how do you make a whole book out of that? So there wasn't necessarily, you know, a guaranteed gigantic book advance. So they needed someone who was sort of, they couldn't just go after the sort of top authors. I think they had to, I'm speculating here, but I think the reason why they came to me rather than someone with a bigger track record was because there wasn't necessarily any guaranteed, you know, big hit. We had to sort of figure out how to crack the story, and I was hungry enough to take it on.
Boy, that's great. And it, you know, the book did well, but then also tell us what happened next. You got, it ended up on the big screen. What was that experience like? And tell us how that happened.
So the agency had always had a very specific plan on how to, you know, turn their story and the book proposal into a film deal. At a certain point, the 3 boys who had been on the train, decided they weren't, you know, quite happy with how the whole Hollywood system was working, and they were about to get an award or give an award at the Spike TV, like testosterone awards or something. And they were like, one of the Spencer, who became a really close friend, he's actually like a really wonderful guy. But I remember having this conversation where he's like, I just think if we like gave a copy to Clint Eastwood, he would do it. And I think I said to him, Spencer, that's not how it works. And as I said that, I was thinking like, how do I know how it works? What am I talking about? And that's basically what they did. They had a galley. They had kind of the rough draft of the book. And I think they literally handed it to him like in the green room or whatever. I think because he was between projects, he's, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 months away from shooting something else. My theory, based on nothing, and I'm sure this could be shot to bits, but is that because part of it takes place in Italy, where his kind of career started with these spaghetti westerns, that he was sort of into an excuse to go there. But they decided they were going to try to do it. They hired a screenwriter, gave her, I think, literally 2 weeks to adapt the book into a screenplay. So what's interesting is I think a lot of authors who are lucky enough to have something adapted will, you know, see the film and say, oh my God, they like strayed so far from the book. And I think because she had no time, I remember seeing it and being like, it was too close to the book. why did you change more? But it was a wild experience. I didn't have much to do with the movie. I got to go to set one day. I met one of the people I met on set was this guy, Ray Khorasani, who plays the terrorist. And it's like also just a great guy, like a really sweet guy. And I remember texting my dad being like, it's going to be really weird when you see him on screen. And it was, because he also happens to be a very good actor and is very terrifying as a terrorist. We became close to that. He actually did the audiobook for my last book. He did the whole thing.
Did you get to meet Clint Eastwood?
I did. I got to talk to him a little bit, because that day on set, these are things I guess you learn when you're in the middle of a big Hollywood production. But I was sort of wandering around like a lost orphan. And one of the producers texted me and said, we're having lunch. I was having lunch at this giant tent with all the extras or whatever. But Clint Eastwood and the boys and some of the principals were in the separate trailer that they call the lunchbox having lunch. So I got to sit next to him and have lunch.
Oh, that's kind of nice. Did he say anything to you?
Yeah, I was wearing a hat that said like Glacier Tour Guides or something. My family used to go out to Montana a lot. So he started talking to me about films he shot in Montana.
Oh, that's so great. All right, so my guest, by the way, is Jeffrey Stern. He is the author of Warhead, The Quest to Build the Perfect Weapon in the Age of Modern Warfare. You can purchase that book on Amazon or another outlet that maybe doesn't need the money, or that needs the money more than Amazon, but wherever you decide to buy it. It's brand new, just dropped January 20th, and we're talking about some of the other projects that Jeffrey has been a part of, an award-winning investigative journalist as well. He joins us over the stream. Are you in Puerto Rico? I'm sorry, Puerto Rico,
no, I'm
Costa
not.
Rica?
I'm not now, but okay. That is where I met Bob.
Okay, all right. So you had another sort of foray into motion pictures as well. You wrote something called Yasmin's Element, and I believe that was just for the screen, right?
Correct, although that started as an adaptation of that first book I was telling you about the school in West Kabul.
Okay.
Maybe I didn't tell you about that book, but that community that kind of led to this foundation was the subject of that book, about the school community kind of preparing for what would happen when troops left. And when that happened, when troops actually left and the community was traumatized and we got involved in trying to evacuate some of them, the director, who is a very close friend and a really talented, wonderful guy named Aman Abbasi, he had this sense that what we were doing was maybe a little bit exploitative now. It was sort of reactive, like we were making this film that was about this thing that had happened. So he had the idea, and his family in Pakistan, he had the idea of changing the story so it was a much more allegorical, and it's just the story of one girl over the course of one day in the Hunza Valley in Pakistan. And so that is Yasmin's Element, which doesn't have a lot literally in common with the book, but kind of spiritually, there's the different kind of obstacles she runs into over the course of the day are kind of each stands in for a constituency in the book.
Yeah. Won Best of the Fest of South by Southwest. That's pretty impressive. Let me ask you this. You're so, like, you've done investigative journalism. You've written for all these big places, respected. You've got awards. You've got 5 books now, a movie you sort of co-wrote. What's next for you? How do you, when you can do all those things, how do you pick your next project? And do you know what it will be?
I think I might try out for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Feels like that would be.
I still got all my college eligibility left, too, so I haven't ruled that out myself. So maybe we could train together, yeah.
Yeah. I fortunately or unfortunately always have way too many ideas and way too many things overflowing from the drawer and don't have a lot of peace until they land somewhere, and most of them never will. So I got plenty of things kind of bubbling up. That I am trying not to dive into too quickly, you know, trying to sort of take a beat and depressurize a little bit, but probably will not do that. And we'll embark on some other 8-year journey on something that will, you know, cost me more of my mental health. But
and grab you a couple of awards too, I'm sure. Jeffrey, this has been fun. Thank you for your time tonight. Keep up the great work. And I hope you come back sometime and we can make fun of Bob Gillespie again.
Okay, we'll do. Thanks so much, Pete.
You
great.
Got it, buddy. All right, that's Jeffrey Stern. Check out Warhead, The Quest to Build the Perfect Weapon in the Age of Modern Warfare. Really fascinating book, and all of his stuff is renowned in one way or the other, whether it's awards for articles or movies or whatever. So that was fun. Con, you said we had other texts on social media.
Yeah, just got a couple new ones.
Let's read those.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't know how to say this name, but it's Blecko Boy. Blecko. Haberman. He says Oblivion.
Oh, yeah, I remember Oblivion.
And then Tiff Burry says, by Grebthar's Hammer.
I don't know that one. I did see Tiff's text. Is that from Guardians of the Galaxy? Or?
No, I can't. I know who that actor is, but I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, that's Hans Gruber from Die Hard. I can't think of his real name right now. Maybe it was Hans Gruber, not his character name, but no. What is his name? It's going to drive me crazy. I'll find out during the break, though. Alan Rickman, that's it, of course. He just passed away a few years ago. We've got some other texts on the text line. Let's start siphoning through those.
It's Galaxy Quest.
Oh, Galaxy Quest. I always get that confused with Guardians of the Galaxy, but Galaxy Quest is actually considered not just a silly comedy, but a really great parody. I've never seen it.
I haven't either, yeah.
Writing partner Greg Liana always used to come in every night when we would write together and say, you got to see Galaxy Quest. Monica in the 608, pardon me, it says, The Mothman Prophecies. I took my family on a torturously long drive to Point Pleasant, West Virginia because of that movie and the sightings. Oh, that's interesting. I also went to Roswell, New Mexico last year because I am obsessed with aliens, too, and clearly a big nerd and weirdo. And that is why we love you, Monica. I have not seen The Mothman Prophecies, but I'm going to check that out. That's one of those things that keeps coming up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to check that out. And I still never have, but thank you for the text. Very funny. Melissa from Willie Street in Madison in the 608 says, Third Rock from the Sun. Yes, of course. Kristen Johnson, a Milwaukee native, maybe, and John Lithgow. Great show. Thank you, Melissa. And Nick from Marshall in the 608 says, I got two for you, Scary Movie 3 and E.T., two very different films. Thank you, Nick.
The Scary Movie 3 alien is, it's like a giant iPod or something like that.
Oh, I love it. That makes that text even sweeter. All right, we are coming right back to read more of your text, and maybe I'll have a surprise for you, a la Michael Scott. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, jamming through a Friday here in Act 3. Terry Barr is on the way, folks. She will be here after news, sports, and weather at the bottom of the hour. Terry is our music expert here in Wisconsin. She is also one of the co-hosts of the award-winning Max Inc. Radio, which you can hear on WMDX Saturday nights from 6 to 9. And if you don't live in the Madison area, you can go to civicmedia.us or Spotify and listen to this truly great music show. Terry and Rocker have both won awards for their efforts on Max Inc. Radio. She will be here in just a few minutes. And we're going to talk Grammys, so that'll be fun. I've got to read some more texts here. Are we good on the social media text, Conrad?
Yeah. I got to say, I made a mistake. Scary Movie 3 had aliens in it, and it was just people, like, dressed in the worst costumes ever, like, pretending to be aliens.
Pretending to be aliens?
Yeah. Scary Movie 4 has the giant, like, creatures, but I can see why it says Scary Movie 3 now, because it's hilarious.
We've got Bridget on the text line from the 818 says, Prey, the Predator movie. It was a clever spin on the franchise, my favorite. You're right about that, Bridget. That's when the Predator shows up in kind of, not prehistoric times, but I want to say goes back a couple centuries and terrorizes Native Americans. I think they were Native Americans or on this continent, but I'm not sure. But it was a really good movie, and that's a great text. Thank you for that. We read Nick. Where are we going here? We've got 608 Sun Prairie says, I know it's old, but I really like Starman. Jeff Bridges. Yeah, I remember that movie. I don't remember much about it. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but great text. Thank you, 608. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, Rowdy. I remember this movie. Rowdy Roddy Piper in the movie They Live. I came here to kick ass or chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum. Such a great line. He says, just kidding. My favorite is Alien. Well done, Tyler, as usual. Thank you. Let's see. Monica again from Mount Horeb. A twofer tonight from Monica in the 608. She says, for TV shows, Doctor Who is my favorite. I remember Doctor Who. I never really watched it, but that might be time. Maybe I would appreciate it now. It seems like kind of a more mature show. Steve from Florida, Conrad's dad, says Guardians of the Galaxy is always a fun alien movie to watch. Did he know that was your choice, too?
No, he didn't. But
so he wasn't just being a sport.
And my mom commented on the stream.
I saw that.
Said E.T.
E.T. Tough to go wrong with E.T.
Yeah.
It depends how you like your alien movies. Some of them are more heartwarming, like E.T., or even Close Encounters of the Third Kind with Richard Dreyfuss, the first one of Spielberg's first movies. That was a good one, too, but there wasn't any, like, terror. So it just depends how you like your aliens. And I think it was Becky last night, who's our author of First Contact, who said that I went scary with my alien stuff. And she chose more docile aliens, which is interesting. Okay, so I want to talk about, too, I finally saw Song Song Blue, so I guess I can consider myself a true Wisconsinite now because I was starting to feel a little subpar. I've had a lot of guests on, obviously, our film critic friends, Matt Miller and Rob Thomas, and the other night, Molly Snyder from OnMilwaukee.com, all have seen Song Song Blue. People from Wisconsin, I think, are a little forgiving of some of the shortcomings in the movie because we're from Wisconsin. I didn't see much. I really liked it. And when I say shortcomings, I just meant, like, I really wish the film was shot in Wisconsin. And I realized that in saying that, that no one outside of Wisconsin knew or probably cares where it was shot. And that's a fair point. The story is the story about Mike and Claire Sardina, two karaoke singers who were also, Mike anyway was an impersonator. He did Neil Diamond. They fell in love, formed the band Lightning and Thunder, and it was a Neil Diamond tribute band. They did other songs too, but their story is so captivating. It's sweet. It's charming. It was a bit tragic at times, but overall very uplifting and a really, really good movie. I really did enjoy it, and you cannot go wrong. I was trying to picture the movie without the Neil Diamond music, and it's still a nice story, but you add Neil Diamond into that, and it just crushes. Now, Kate Hudson is nominated for an Oscar, and I know everybody is saying Jesse Buckley of Hamnet is probably going to win the Oscar. She's the odds-on favorite, but I thought Kate Hudson was outstanding as Claire Sardina. So I'm kind of pulling for Kate Hudson. In reference to the fact that the film was shot in New Jersey, where they had incentives, Wisconsin has filmmaking incentives now. They did not then when they were making this film. So they shot in New Jersey. And I guess that's okay. There's a weird thing in the cast. Michael Imperioli is in the cast. who is kind of identifies as a Jersey guy. I don't know exactly where he's from, but he was in The Sopranos. He's in all these mob movies. That was a curious cast in Song Sung Blue. And he was just kind of a background musician. I don't know why they did that when they were trying to make the movie more Wisconsin. Jim Belushi is in it. Pretty good. Almost unrecognizable at first. Fisher Stevens was in it. Two Chicago actors. Fisher Stevens, good actor. But I found it strange that they chose Michael Imperioli, because it just makes the movie a little more Jersey. And then finally, there's Hugh Jackman, who is a really good actor, a great singer, a great performer, and an imposing on-screen personality. He was probably really good as Mike Sardina. I saw Hugh Jackman the whole time. Whereas with Kate Hudson, she kind of disappeared into the role and was great. But overall, a really good film. I can't believe it's taken me this long to see it, but I highly recommend it. If you're looking for something to watch over the weekend, and it is uplifting, there are some elements to the story that are kind of setbacks, I would say, for the characters, but a very well-acted scene. And there's a scene at the end of the movie where Mike and Claire's son, who is Mike's stepson, is watching a video Mike Sardina made. I'm not giving a spoiler alert here. Mike passed away in the mid-2000s, but very sweet scene and might actually bring a tear to your eye, but it's still somewhat happy, if you can believe that. So check out Song Sung Blue and let me know what you think, folks. Come back and tell us what your thoughts on the movie are. When we come back, it's Bar Band Friday Night with Terry Barr. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight.
Time to check out original music with Bar Band Friday on Nightlight. Now, your host, Pete Schwabba, and special guest, Terry Barr.
Welcome back, folks. It is time for Bar Band Friday Night, our favorite part of the week, with one of our favorite people in the entire world. I don't use hyperbole very often, but anyway. Terry Barr is here. Terry, how are you?
Wow. That was a lot. Thank you, Pete. Oh, my gosh.
Big shoes
How are you
to
guys
fill.
Doing? How are you and Conrad feeling?
We're
you
fine. Better? Conrad's coughing. He tried to sneak away earlier, and I put the kibosh on that. How are you feeling? You missed last week, and we hope you're feeling better.
I know. I finally have a voice back, but as I said to Conrad earlier when I spoke with him, the cough, it just kills you. But hopefully everybody else is staying well and healthy and is ready for a great weekend ahead.
I agree. That's well said. Last year I missed 2 days because, you know, I could have muscled through, but you don't know if you can't talk, like you literally have no voice in this job. You can't do it. This year I was able I didn't have to do that, but I still felt crummy. You know, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. And no voice. No, who wants to listen to that?
You know? Exactly. Nobody. There's nothing to listen to. So.
No, exactly. Oh my goodness.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better, Terry. It's great to have you here tonight. You had a great idea for tonight when it came to. First, before we get into this, can I ask you our question of the night?
Yes, and I've been listening to the show on and off, but I think I missed the question. Shoot.
The question is, what is your favorite TV show or movie when it comes to aliens?
What was the original when we were like little?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yes.
Yes.
I remember watching that as a little kid with my cousins and we were all freaked out about it.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to watch it with all these other people who were, you know, basically we were all the same age.
Yeah.
And we were just like, what is this?
But it didn't, that, if I remember correctly, they came as friends, right? They sort of touched hands and whatever. And So yeah, that was a really good movie, Richard Dreyfuss. And my favorite was when the Simpsons parodied that, though. And Homer was making, and it was all about Homer wanting to go to clown college and not having anything to do with aliens. One of the greatest Simpsons episodes ever. All right. Well, that's a great answer. Let's jump in. You had an idea tonight to tie Wisconsin to the Grammys, and I love it. So who should we start with?
Well, and let me tell you a couple. I was shocked when I did some research. I really wanted to see, are we in any relation to the Grammys with all of our amazing Wisconsin musicians? Well, Al Jarreau,
Who
was from Milwaukee,
yep.
He won 7 Grammys, and it covered jazz, pop, and R&B.
He was great.
Skylar Grey. Now, this takes us to a little closer to right now. Skylar Grey from Mazomany, she was nominated for the best rap collaboration with Eminem.
Oh, no kidding. That's kind of cool. Wow.
It's really cool. She did not win, but they did perform the year that that was nominated, which is like 10 years ago or something now. And of course, everybody knows Steve Miller and the Steve Miller Band. He is also a Milwaukee guy. He was nominated 3 times. He's only won once, but still, we can claim him as ours.
Listen, as a guy who's never really been recognized for anything in my entire life,
nomination
would be fantastic. I like to think I don't care if I'd win. I'm sure I would want to win once I got nominated and I'd badmouth all the other contestants, but I still think that's pretty impressive.
Yes.
Did the Bodines, they're from Wisconsin, did they ever, and they did that, the theme song for Party of Five, Closer to Free, did they ever get nominated for that, do you know?
I think they were nominated. Okay. I want to say this is what I read when I was looking at this. They did get an award for artistic interpretation.
Oh, okay.
Now, what is that?
I don't know.
If it means you have a Grammy on your shelf, that's pretty cool.
Absolutely, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Well, you've got two artists tonight that have ties to Wisconsin that are nominated this year. Let's jump in. Who should we start with?
Do you want to start with Josh Rip?
Yeah.
Okay. He is, you know, since you were kind of talking about movies and films a little bit, he's actually starting to pull a little bit away from music. After 25 years, he started a record label in Madison 25 years ago. And now he said, you know what? I've done what I need to do in music. I'm not going to quit. But he is now working on a full, would it be called a full feature length film?
Yeah.
I know you're the film guy.
No, that sounds right. Yeah.
Okay. His first one, and it's going to be a 90s coming of age story, and he's shooting it all over Wisconsin. So he hopes to have that done by the summer. Meantime, the song that I sent to you guys for tonight is called Drown. And it is one of those that has been nominated for the Grammys last year. Nominated, he didn't win, but he's been nominated something like 6-7 times in the past.
Oh, wow.
And obviously with 25 years under his belt, that's still a great success. He was originally from Illinois, but calls Madison home now.
I saw that, and he also identifies as a hip-hop Christian-based artist, but this song does not... I admit, you know, I wish it weren't the case, but I have kind of a stigma. Like when I hear that, I expect to hear the gospel put to music. And this is not that. Like really good Christian artists just sing about really cool stuff. And that's what this song, it surprised me because it's a really good song. Yeah.
Good. So, I hope it'll surprise everyone. And it's uplifting. It's sad because he does write about his own circumstances that brought him to where he is now. But then it becomes a very positive song.
Yeah, that's great. And you said he's also a Recording Academy voter.
He is. That is so fascinating to me. I mean, these are hand-picked people that get this opportunity to vote for the best of the best.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, let's hear. This is Josh Rip. This is his song, Drown, and it's Grammy nominated here this year at the 61st Annual Grammy Awards. Compliments of our pal, Terry Barr.
Don't let me drown in the darkest days. Burdens I carry, I can't escape. Take all the troubles and pain away. Hoping and praying for better days. Don't let me drown, drown, drown. Don't let me drown.
Lord, I gave my life at a young age, but it seemed came to me, I had one aim. Give my heart, push you aside, then live my life for the front page. Do it my way or the highway, and not really lean on my faith. But nowadays, not just holidays, it's my ways, craving Yahweh. Can't hit rock bottom with eye to rock, so now is the time that I need you most. Will my life feel like a sinking boat, and I need to grow like a seed you sow. And my heart can't sustain yet another blow. Thought the worst was through when he took my bro. Till my father stroke, now we out of home. I won't be a father, no, now I'm out of hope.
Don't let me drown in the darkest days. Burdens I carry, I can't escape. Take all the troubles and pain away. Hoping and praying for better days. Don't let me drown, drown, drown. Don't let me drown, drown, drown. Don't let me
drown. One day I'll be free again. One day we gon' meet again. One day I'ma sleep again. Till then I'ma weep again. Can't keep these demons up out of my head. Can't pull myself up out of this bed. He'll sleep away more than half the day and barely eat like a castaway. On the outside looks like he's doing great. You can see the jawline once again in his face. He's losing weight, but make no mistake, he contemplates what they'd have to say if he passed away. Cherry tree, promise better days I could barely see. Like a scary dream and it's very bleak. Make it very brief, I could barely breathe.
Don't let me drown in the darkest days. Burdens I carry, I can't escape. Take all the troubles and pain away. Hoping and praying for better days. Don't let me drown, drown, drown. Don't let me drown, drown, drown. Don't let me
drown. Lord, take these pains, make life peaceful. Lift these burdens that make me feeble. Cause hurt people, they hurt people. And rather than to exert evil, no longer want to deceive people. Wanna lift them up like a church steeple. Constant losses, addictions, betrayal equals. Leaning on vices that don't need you. Cause the devil knows where I'm weak, but the Lord, he knows who I seek. Only one that won't let me sink. So guess which one who got me? Yeah, guess which one who got me? The one that got me to see that he will not leave or forsake me or break me.
Don't let me drown in the darkest days. Burdens I carry, I can't escape. Take all the troubles and pain away. Hoping and praying for better days. Don't let me drown, drown, drown. Don't let me drown, drown, drown. Don't let me drown.
That's a great song. I love that song. Hey, is that him in the video?
Oh, did you watch the video?
Yeah, it kind of looks like he's got like an Eminem thing, and that's how I saw it, was on YouTube, and I was like, he's got all the tats, and he just kind of looks like he's got a little bit of an Eminem vibe, but that's a really solid song.
Well, and it feels appropriate for these days, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, just, all that of us needing a little help.
That was at the nominated for the 61st Grammy Awards. Sunday is the 68th. Really cool. So, it's sadly, he didn't win, but it sounds like he's been nominated six times. I think he's had a pretty good run, right?
Well, and you got to love being able to have you and I talk about this and share this with all of the listeners that we have this kind of talent in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
I just love that so much. Yeah. And being able to highlight them. Thank you so much, Pete. They are so deserving.
My pleasure. Thank you for doing this. You know, you give up all your Fridays for 20 minutes, but still, that's impressive.
Love to be with you guys. Why not?
We appreciate it very much. So let's pivot to Madison. Are you saying peace, Conrad, or 2 minutes? 2 minutes.
I can leave.
Madison Malone. We've talked about Madison before, correct, on this show?
Yes. She wrote a bunch of Mom Day songs because she was a brand new mother last year. And so she wrote a song for both her son, her partner, and her own mom. And we talked about that around Mother's Day last year.
Mm-hmm. That's right. All right. She's a Portage native. And she, now tell us, what is the connection with this song to the Grammys?
This song is one of her most recent original songs, written, produced, the whole deal. Her Grammy connection is because she has co-written with other people who have had Grammy nominations.
Okay.
So that I think that counts. You know, absolutely. If you're a co-writer and you get a nomination, if you win, you get that as well. But she's also another one of the voters.
Oh.
So they see something in these folks that obviously makes them an official Recording Academy voter.
So this is going to sound stupid, but can they vote for themselves? I mean, I would imagine.
You would like to think they could, but then you feel bad if you do, and then you still don't win.
Exactly. All right, Terry Barr is our guest. This is a Barr Band Friday, our favorite time of the week. And when we come back, we're going to hear a really cool song from Madison Malone called, is this, Piece of Art is not the, that's the album, right? So the song.
No, it's the song.
It's the song. Yep. Okay, perfect. We'll hear that when we come back. And on the stream, Darlene says Alf is her favorite alien-related show. Love it, Darlene. Thank you. We are coming right back with Terry Barr. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. All right. Well, the weekend has started for all of you, and it's about to start for me and Conrad and Terry Barr as well, who took time out of her weekend to join us here for Barr Band Friday night. We love when Terry is here bringing us new music and great conversation. And so what do you have planned this weekend, Terry? You got big plans?
Ooh. We have Max Inc., but obviously I brought you the Grammy.
Yeah.
Wisconsin artists. Grammys are on Sunday night, so I'll probably dive into that at least to check it out.
Okay.
Tomorrow, otherwise, I don't know. I'm waiting for it to warm up. I guess that's my biggest issue.
Same here. Do you guys have big plans? Or who's on Max Inc. tomorrow?
You know what? I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. You got time. You got time to figure it out.
Yeah. I think we have some potential artists booked. So, you know, this happens, as you know, you do a show every single night for 3 hours. So you know how it can go sometimes. So I just invite people to listen and maybe be surprised.
There you go. And maybe, I'm guessing maybe you reached out to Sean Cassidy after he was here on Monday night and got him in the, how fun would that be?
That was a terrific interview. Thank you, Pete.
Oh my goodness. He was fun. What a seems like such a good guy. You know, he was great.
He does.
Great to have
he
him
does.
On the show. All right. So we've got our artist tonight. We just heard Josh Rip, and now we've got Madison Malone, who is Madison based and is now in Los Angeles and has worked with many Grammy nominated artists. And now we've got to tell us about this song again, Terry, before we fire it up.
It is called Piece of Art. It is one of her most recent songs that she wrote and produced, did the music, the whole deal. You know what I find so fascinating about some of these folks, though, that they've been doing this like their entire life.
Yeah.
She started performing on stage at Circus World when she was like in grade school.
In Baraboo?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know. And so you knew that had to lead to something.
Right. She's either going to be a clown or a Grammy working artist. So there you go. All right. This song is called Piece of Art. And it is by a Madison native, Madison Malone, compliments of Terry Barr.
I'm a piece of art, every bone and every part. I'm a leader, I'm a mother, I'm a mother, I'm an idol, I'm a teacher, I'm a goddess. I am not gonna be modest, I am Venus, Aphrodite. I'm a lover, I am mighty, I'm a preacher, I'm a priest. You can worship on your knees, oh. Statues with the same body as me. I don't know about you, but that feels like I just won the lottery, baby. I'm a
Intense tune. That is so cool.
I know.
I love when I looked her up too. She's also appeared as an actor on General Hospital and kind of warmed my heart a little bit when I saw that she provided music to a show called Praise Petey. So there you go.
There you go. There you go. She is doing so great in LA.
I believe
but
that.
She doesn't get us. She comes home two, three times a year and does shows here, which is wonderful.
Oh, that's fantastic. You'll have to let us know when she's in Madison or anywhere else in Wisconsin.
It.
Yeah, she'd be fun to see live. Terry, thank you so much. Get back to your weekend.
Too.
Yeah, thanks so much. We'll see you next week, I hope.
You got it.
All right, stay healthy. All right.
Happy weekend, all.
You too, Terry. Thank you. That's Terry Barr. Folks, check out Max Inc. Radio tomorrow night from 6 to 9 p.m. on WMDX or Spotify if you don't live in the Madison area or at civicmedia.us. I want to thank all my guests tonight. Adriana Herrera, Rob Thomas, Jeffrey Stern, and Terry Barr. Thank you also for all your texts and calls. This is the last time, Conrad, I'll have to say Adriana Herrera and Becky Ferreira. That was messing me up all night. So I think I got through it, though.
You got it.
Coming out, let's see, who's here on Monday? Ty Williams. Oh, I love Ty. He was here before. He's a programmer for Milwaukee Film. Actor Dan Davies and Thomas Campbell, a professor at UWGB and a playwright. That's Monday night on Nightlight. We will be back. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay warm. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.